All right, it's homepage on WOGO, and for a number of weeks now, we've been using the second half of our Wednesday shows to talk with authors from the CVLA, the Chippewa Valley Local Authors. They meet monthly at the local store, Volumes 1 headquarters in downtown Eau Claire. And our latest author is Melissa Wiltrout from Eau Claire. Melissa is with us in studio. Welcome, Melissa.
Hey.
Have you done a radio interview on your book before?
I did one, but it wasn't local.
Okay.
And it was by telephone.
Oh, okay. Where was that?
Somewhere out east. I don't even remember where.
Okay. Your book is Tessa, From Fear to Faith. Before we talk about the book, tell us about yourself a little bit.
Okay. So I'm from Chippewa Falls, but I live in Eau Claire now. I just turned 35, and I am a Christian, and I enjoy working outside. So I'm going to be starting school at the end of the month, taking landscape and plant care and turf management at the technical school. I'm looking forward to that. And I keep myself busy. I volunteer at the Eau Claire County Jail with the ladies as well.
That's great. And I think you work with Margie over there, right?
Yes, I do.
All right, great. We applaud that. Thanks for doing that. And so talk to me about your interest in writing in general.
I've always enjoyed writing. And when I was 8, I tried to write a book. It didn't go very well because my brother gave me this bad piece of advice that said I had to write about absolutely everything that happened every single day. Couldn't skip anything. So the first day, the cats mated and my main character got a birthday party. And after that, I got bored and quit writing.
So this is an older brother who gave you this bad advice?
Oh, yes.
And so what's he up to today?
He's an electrician in Thorpe.
But you've written a book.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you did settle on Tessa, From Fear to Faith. So talk about the development of this book.
Okay, well, I started writing the book. Actually, it was not intended to be a book. I always enjoyed writing. I was good at it in school. So I have a really good imagination, and I would picture scenes in my mind and kind of turn them into stories in my head, and I never had tried to write one down before. And this book began at 10:30 p.m. I sat down, and I'm like, let's see if I can put on paper one of these scenes that I'm so good at imagining. And the character in that scene was this girl, Tessa, and I wasn't able to just leave it at the end of the scene. I wanted to see, what is she going to do next? Why has she run away from home? And what is going on at home that made her do that? And what's going to happen next in her life? Is she going to be okay? So I got about 30 pages in, and I told my younger brother, guess what? I'm writing a novel. I think everybody thought it was a joke at first, but I finished the rough draft in about 6 weeks. And then I spent about 6 years editing and revising and rewriting and rewriting and rewriting again.
Huh. And so, boy, the devil's in the details, right? I mean, there's the idea of being an author can seem so glamorous sometimes. And yet there's the writing. And then I appreciate you saying the rewriting and the rewriting and the a lot of that, right? Talk about that. I mean, that's kind of polishing, isn't it? I mean, you're trying to make it as good as possible before you present it to the public.
Absolutely, yeah. I didn't want to have something I was ashamed of. And my book, it talks a lot about child abuse and stuff. And I had to do a lot of research. I didn't do that research before I started writing the book. But after the first or second draft, I'm like, you know what? I need to make sure that I know what I'm talking about here because I don't want people laughing at me. So I know I did a good job on the research because Margie, the women's jail chaplain, she took it into the jail and she gave it to the ladies. She said, see if you can find anything wrong with this thing. And they all read it and combed through it with a flea comb. They're like, we can't find anything wrong with it. Is this the author's life story?
Is it?
It is not my life story, but there's pieces of me all over the place in there. If I hadn't had the kind of background that I have, I could not have written a credible book about abuse.
Huh. So tell us a little bit more of the story of, and you're not only a member of of the group CVLA, but you're, I see Western Wisconsin Christian Writers Guild, too, which we've talked with them over the years, meeting September through May, second Tuesday of the month at Bethesda Lutheran in Eau Claire, right?
Yep, that's right. Yeah, they've been very helpful to me. I took rough drafts of the book into the critique group that they had at the time, and they really helped me. I don't think I'd have a book today if it weren't for them. I'm still a member of that group. I'm actually on the board of directors there. So. Huh.
Terrific. And talk about how do writing groups like that help aspiring writers and authors like yourself?
Well, the critique group is really important because you've just written a piece and you can't tell if it's good or not. And you take it to critique group and people are like, well, this should be done like that and this would be a lot stronger that way. And if you can take the critique, you know, it really pushes you and stretches you. Also, I appreciate the fact that Writers Guild, they encourage you to get published and not just muddle around on paper forever.
Huh. All right, more to come with our featured CVLA author, Chippewa Valley local author today, Melissa Wiltrout. More on her book, Tessa, From Fear to Faith. What else is she working on? And other words of suggestion to you in terms of you know, insights you might wonder about if you're looking to write a book. Your questions and comments for Melissa, welcome at 723-2555 in Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls, 1-800-657-4769. Email mark at WOGO.com. Also today, veteran ESPN personality John Saunders has died at the age of 61. This sad news first reported by Saunders' colleague Hannah Storm on ESPN SportsCenter early this morning. Since joining ESPN in 1986, Saunders was described as a well-liked and respected fixture at ESPN for nearly three decades. His duties, including reporting in college football, basketball, the NHL, and hosting duties on programs such as SportsCenter and the Sports Reporters. A close friend of the late Jimmy Valvano, Saunders was also a founding member and served on the board of directors of the V Foundation for Cancer Research. In a statement from ESPN, ESPN President John Skipper commenting on Saunders' passing today, saying John Saunders was an extraordinary talent and his friendly, informative style has been a warm welcome to sports fans for decades. And that our thoughts are with his loved ones at this extremely difficult time. John Saunders, a long time with ESPN, dead today at the age of 61.
Are you tired of looking for but not finding a Christian-based newspaper that talks about local and national issues that relate to your community? The U.S. and Eau Claire Journal offers a clear, conservative, Christian-based paper that promotes life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which is typically overlooked by the general media. Subscribe today for only $39 for a whole year delivered to your mailbox by going online to EauClaireJournal.com. That's EauClaireJournal.com.
Saturday, August 13th, Ryan Sports Shop in downtown Durand will be hosting their archery and shooting sports fall kickoff event. Come try a Parker or 10-point crossbow in their outdoor shooting trailer. Exclusive deals on covert scouting cameras, Browning X-Bolt rifles, Browning safes, Slayer box blinds. And don't forget about their huge 22 ammo selection. Factory reps will be on hand to answer your questions. Saturday, August 13th from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Ryan Sports Shop, downtown Durand.
FM 103.1 AM 680 and WOGO.com. Current events, controversy, and courageous living from a Chippewa Valley perspective. Melissa Wiltrout with us as we put the spotlight on her, our CVLA spotlight, the Chippewa Valley Local Authors Meeting, monthly at the Volume 1, the local store in downtown Eau Claire. When's the next meeting, Melissa?
I don't know.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. I'm sorry. All right. I know you can look up CVLA on Facebook, and they're working on a website as well. All right. In the meantime, okay, so the book is Tessa, From Fear to Faith. Boy, yeah, it's interesting. I think my daughter has a really big wall hanging that talks about faith triumphing over fear. So as a person of faith yourself, talk about that as a subtitle in your book, Tessa, From Fear to Faith, and the importance of that.
Okay, yeah. It's a journey from fear to faith. Tessa, she's a teenager growing up in an abusive, dysfunctional family.
By abusive, like what kind of abuse?
Yeah, her dad cooks methamphetamine. He forces her to help. That's abuse right there. He physically beats her up. He beats up her mom. and he, you know, treats her like dirt. So all abuse there.
So how did you know about the whole idea of cooking? I mean, did you have to study that, or how did you know about that type of abuse?
I did research on methamphetamine, and I don't have any personal experience with it, and I chose that particular drug because I knew the most about it.
Uh-huh. Okay. And so, okay, so talk to me more about, flesh out this From Fear to Faith stuff.
Okay, so Tessa is growing up in this fear-inducing situation here, and she doesn't know God. Nobody in her family knows God, and she keeps trying to escape from this situation. She physically runs away, and the police find her, or her dad finds her, and she's back. She's only 14, so she hasn't figured out how to run away for good yet. And basically, it starts settling into her that I'm caught in this bad situation. I'm going to die one of these days, and I can't get out of this. So she's terrified. She's desperate. And then God is working behind the scenes. You don't really see it in the first part of the book, but later on, you really see how God's been working behind the scenes to rescue her and the rest of her family. And she finds faith in God, and she finds love, and she learns to trust. And it's a story of redemption. It's a journey of redemption and life change. And yeah.
So we go through so many dark and difficult and at the time unexplainable episodes, and yet this idea that real trust develops in the dark, that God over time can use even the darkest, most difficult circumstance to draw us unto himself, into a either an initial relationship or a deeper relationship.
Yep. I guess we realize how much we need God when we see that we are failing living our lives by ourselves, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I think it makes us appreciate and love God a whole lot more when we can look over our lives and see, oh, I was there, and because of God, I made progress, and because of God, I am where I would never be on my own.
So how did you come to faith initially yourself?
That's interesting. I grew up in a religious Christian family. I say religious because I was taught, essentially, that to be pleasing to God, I had to be perfect. I had to do everything right. And my dad has a real heart for God. He's a wonderful Christian. But he also, he didn't really see the grace of God. So he was trying really, really, really hard to be perfect. And he taught that to his kids, me. And I learned when I was 10, there is no way I can be good enough for God. There's no way I can be good enough for my dad. And I basically gave up trying to be good. I'm like, I want God in my life. How am I going to do this? Because I can't do it. And I had heard about people who, you know, they get addicted to drugs or whatever, and they mess up their lives really, really bad. And it seems like God would just pick them up and put them into this room of grace and say, hey, I'm going to deliver you, and I love you, and I know you can't be good enough on your own, so I'm going to do it for you. And I'm like, that is wonderful, but I don't qualify, do I? Because I got to be good enough. I'm not one of those messed up people that can't do it, am I? And I had this strange thought process in my mind where I thought I would have to mess up my own life in order to qualify for God's grace. And we know that's not true, that we, none of us can be good enough for God, and we all do qualify for grace, but I didn't know that.
Huh.
So according to my parents, I prayed for salvation when I was like 4, but when I was a teenager, I basically realized I'm not a Christian, and it felt better when I told that to myself, but I had to hide it from my parents, because if I would have said I'm not a Christian, they would have been like, oh, well, let's all gather around you and let's you become one right now, because that's a really bad place for you to be. So I went through quite a process where I was consciously and unconsciously messing up my life and really messing up my thought process. And a lot of it didn't show on the outside, but I was a really messed up person by the time I was 20.
Really?
Yeah. And
so how did you deal with that? Or how did you, I found that getting it out in the open, you know, you can't do it by yourself. You need community to grow.
That's really true. I grew up really isolated. There were six of us in our family, four kids and mom and dad. And we were so isolated. I don't need to go into all the reasons why, but I was essentially homeschooled. We didn't see our relatives. My dad didn't have a job where there were coworkers. We were basically cut off from society. We didn't listen to the radio. We certainly didn't have TV. And I was really, really isolated. And the idea of community wasn't something that I was even familiar with. Basically, we had this thought pattern. It's either we've got it in our family, God provided it within our family, or we don't need it because all you need is God. Now, so I prayed a lot. I realized about the time I'm 20, I'm like, my life is going somewhere bad. And what am I going to do about this? And I started praying. And the Lord used me starting to write this book to start changing my thought patterns. I learned the truth about where my life was going to go if I kept messing it up. And I'm like, I don't want it to go there. I became genuinely saved. And then God did something really awesome.
What's that?
He brought me into a place where I have people who are there for me, and I know what community is, and I know what love is. And if you read my book, Tessa, you will see that that's what God does for her. And the really interesting thing is, that's what makes a difference in her life. It's made a huge difference in my life, going to church and having friends. But the interesting thing is, I wrote that into the book before it even happened to me. That is really important to community.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you find that through a church or?
I did. I started going to a church. They had a group for people that have had a lot of trouble in their background. And I found people that were willing to listen to me and help me reframe my thinking. And these people, they didn't go away. You know, even if I'd like try to push them away,
that's great.
They were there.
You care to tell us which church?
Valley Brook.
Valley Brook Church. All right, terrific. And that's, you're still there?
I am.
Terrific. All right, well, what about, final question for you in terms of, what about other books? Any other, you working on anything else, or you felt like this was particularly the one that you were drawn to write?
This book was something that I had to write. God just really put it on my heart, I guess, that I needed to write it. I've had a lot of people asking me for a sequel, and maybe there will be a sequel someday, but the sequel would consist of Tessa becoming an adult and moving on with her life, you know, maybe going to college and getting a job and building relationships with her extended family. And I mentioned I've been really isolated, so it's just in the last year and a half that I've moved away from home, and I've gotten a job away from home, and I need to do some more living first before I can write that.
There you go. That's an honest answer from Melissa Wiltrout. The book is Tessa, From Fear to Faith. Where can people find it?
Okay, the book, you can order it from my publisher, which is Life Sentence Publishing. You can also find it online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's available from the library.
All right, maybe in a little bit of time we'll have left talking about, what about finding a publisher? It's good you found one. A lot of people self-publish. Finding a publisher in the final moments with Melissa Wiltrout. Coming up, WOGO.
Aw, shoot. What's the matter? My GPS, it told me to turn right, but there wasn't a road there. Now it keeps telling me to make a U-turn, don't you know?
Ah, well, do you have a map in your glove box?
I don't think so.
Well, FEMA says you should always have a map on hand for emergencies in times like now when technology fails you.
Yes, sirree, I sure could use one now because my GPS only shows where I am. Sometimes I need to see more of the area. I'll buy one when we get back.
You don't have to buy one. There are great new maps out from Mass Marketing Incorporated. You can get one free.
Free? Do I have to give my email address or sit through a presentation or something?
Nope. Just stop by any of the businesses that sponsor them in Eau Claire, Quality Inn, Gilbertson Cleaners, Sacred Heart Hospital, Caldwell Baker Brennizer.
I drive past them all the time.
Well, stop in.
Are you ready for a change in janitorial services? Here at the radio station, we've relied on Schleppenbach Janitorial for 9 years now. Alex has a personal approach as a local owner, and he won't demand a long-term contract. We know our building is secure. They even triple-check the doors. Schleppenbach Janitorial tailors the cleaning solutions to your business needs. Call Alex today for a free estimate at 723-6601.
Menominee Street Dental of Eau Claire is now accepting new patients.
I'm Dr. Randy Shook, and if you have missing teeth, we have options for you today that didn't exist a few years ago. We can replace a missing tooth with a permanent implant that's twice as strong as a natural tooth. It won't slip or pinch like dentures, and you can treat it like one of your own. For permanent solutions, come and get your smile at Menominee Street Dental. Online at msdsmile.com.
At Menominee Street Dental of Eau Claire, the most important smile to us is yours.
Advertise on News Talk Sports 680. Call 723-1037.
Hey, this Saturday, it's the archery and shooting sports fall kickoff event at Ryan's Sports Shop in downtown Durand. Try out a crossbow in the outdoor shooting trailer and find exclusive deals, including on Browning safes and X-Bolt rifles. And don't forget Ryan's huge in-stock selection of 22 ammo. Don't miss the savings this Saturday from 8 to 4 at Ryan's Sports Shop in Durand. Needing a lawnmower or motorcycle spark plug or battery? See one of the Eau Claire or Lake Halley Auto Value stores. They've got what you need. And Marco, your authorized Canon HP Konica Minolta dealer. As we wrap up here on a Wednesday homepage on WOGO, Melissa Wiltrout, you found a publisher, Life Sentence Publishing, for Tessa from Fear to Faith. So what's your word to people who are looking for a publisher?
I think first off, it's important to make sure that your writing is quality, worth publishing.
Uh-huh.
So I actually focused on that more than finding a publisher. I did look for royalty publishers. I know it's important to match the publisher with what you've written because they can be pretty particular. But royalty publishers are getting really hard to find. I found my publisher at the Christian Writers Guild. He started coming, and I had...
That's terrific. We're out of time. Thank you so much, Melissa Wiltrout. Check out the podcast, wogo.com.